Gareth Cliff Show, The Real Network, Monday. What is today? It's the 11th. 11th of the 11th. Oh, it's Armistice Day.
Oh, that's right.
So it's actually, it's the day, Remembrance Day, some people call it. Armistice Day on the 11th of November, 1914, at 11 o'clock in the morning, World War I came to an end. So
it's a happy day.
It's a happy day. I played that clip a while ago, which someone reminded me of, where you can actually hear the sound of the guns firing. Then it turns to 11. The guns go silent. And there's absolute silence for a little bit, a couple of seconds. And then very quietly you hear the birds starting to chirp again in the background.
Wow.
It's one of the most haunting things I've ever heard.
Sure.
1918, sorry, I said 1418, was when they called an end to World War I. And since then it's been called Poppy Day or Remembrance Day. It's the day that people wear a little red poppy, and you remember the fallen of the two major world wars, and there are a lot of those.
Observed by Belgium, France, the UK,
mm-hmm.
Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Serbia, Romania, and Bulgaria, and many other countries. Not a public holiday for us, though.
No, not a public holiday. No. We carry on. People have got to think, get on with things. You can't have another day after a Sunday. What a waste. I never really know what to do with Sundays. I mean, usually they're just recharge days for most people. It's a day to kind of get your battery back up and running. And
yeah, it depends on chill. Some people run around on a Saturday and do absolutely everything they need to do for the week ahead so that they can relax on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of do all the stuff I need to get ready for on a Sunday. So I'll go put in petrol, have my car cleaned.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're very,
do a little bit of
very organized.
Shopping,
so in some ways, it's like your first day of the week.
It feels like it, yeah.
Right. Well, they celebrated all the Remembrance Day stuff over the weekend in Europe. And it is a big deal. Here's Cully, who says, my gran lived during the First and Second World War. Apparently, the mayor of Cape Town found a World War II veteran, and they laid a wreath at some memorial, which is quite nice. I think it's good that we acknowledge the fact that many South Africans were involved in both of those wars, and many of them we lost in those wars. So we should really make a little bit of a fuss of it, and if that is what the mayor of Cape Town has done, good for him. It's certainly as important as many of the other things that we acknowledge in South Africa that we have memorials to, you know? So it's something worth thinking about. Thankfully, Trump will de-escalate things now, says Grant. We were genuinely heading to World War III. I don't know, but it does seem like a lot of world leaders are suddenly going, let's get on the phone to this guy. Let's start just picking how we're going to present ourselves to the United States under Donald Trump. I don't think anyone's talking to Biden, shame. And by the way, the other person who's not going to be talking to anyone is Kamala Harris. Forget about her ever being important again. Like someone who will go from absolute hero to zero is her. I mean, for the next 6 weeks, if you need her to come to a car wash where you've, you know, you're giving away... you're giving away ice creams for every third car that you want. She'll come and do it. She's got nothing else to do.
She's got nothing else to do. That must be like a period of mourning after something like that happens in your life and your career.
Yeah, there's a bit of grief.
When you've given up everything for that.
Congo Chris says, I always use Armistice Day to remember my grandfather. He fought in Egypt and Italy as part of the Commonwealth Forces. We had an assembly at school once. Around Armistice Day. And it was amazing to me. Most people didn't know what it was. And I remember there was an occasion somewhere where people were allowed to wear their grandparents' medals had they received any during the wars. And it was interesting to see how many people actually had them and wore them in honor of their grandparents. I think there are lots of people connected to this stuff. The next potential South African president will go to KFC and hand out chicken for free. Some campaigns are different. The same campaign, different location. Yeah. I feel like Kamala's relieved now, says that Don Kitty. That's how I felt when I saw her giving that concession speech. I thought this is a person who's just been released from a thing that she really was not enjoying. I mean, it must be such pressure.
Oh, massive. Huh? The most in the world.
especially on her because she wasn't winning. It just wasn't working for her. So she must be so pleased it's done. Unburdened by what has been. Unburdened by what has been. So we don't have to hear that voice ever again for a long time. I've got a story for you that you'll like, Leanne Moll.
Oh, yeah.
Now, listen to this. This is quite fun. So apparently they're selling an AI artwork of Alan Turing for $1 million. It's called AI God. It's written by AI-DaRobot.
DaRobot.
A humanoid robot artist sold for $1,084,800. How's that for an AI-generated artwork?
Wait, who's the person?
There it is. AI-DaRobot.
No, the subject.
Oh, it's Alan Turing. What? Alan Turing, you know who he is, right?
Why am I having to
prominent
Google
World
him?
War II code breaker, pioneer of computer science.
Yes.
Father of artificial intelligence.
Crypt analyst.
Yeah, he helped crack the code on the Enigma machine, among other
there
things.
There you go.
So that links to our discussion of Armistice Day.
Right.
But anyway, that doesn't look like him to me.
Yeah, let's take that again.
I mean,
it's very... It's a
would you want
bit
that?
Of
would
Picasso.
You, would you put that in your house? Nah.
Yeah, I don't think AI did very well.
That's pretty fucking ugly, actually. And it's got like an eye in the forehead there. I don't know if I like this.
Or a bullet hole.
I don't like this.
It looks like
an ear
over the eye, but it's also an eye.
Apparently, this is a historic moment in the intersection of AI technology and the art market, raising conversations about the ethical implications of AI in art. Okay, so let's just get this right out there in the beginning. I don't mind if machines are making art. And you get lots of people who are generating these things. In fact, a friend of mine was saying the other day that he has developed album art for all of his playlists using AI.
Ooh.
So all the playlists on his song, on his phone of all the songs that he likes, he's got individual playlist album art that he's made using AI. And it looks pretty good to me.
Ooh.
I don't think this is a problem.
No,
most
not
artists.
At all.
Listen, a lot of artists are taking the piss anyway. Let me show you what James... Let me show you. James tried to sell this to me as art. Look at this. This is what James... This James thinks this is art, all right? He did this. That's what he thinks is art.
It's a bit of a chessboard, isn't it?
Not even a chessboard because it doesn't have eight along the sides. So,
and there are things falling off of it too.
And stuff's coming off of it. I mean, this is an absolute disaster. And James thinks that's art. Now, if he thinks that's art, then let a machine come up with something better. Because anything's better than that.
Yeah, that art we saw just now is better than that.
Right? I mean, this is a piece of shit. This is James's best work.
Did he make it?
Yeah, he made that. It's crap. I mean, it's like, what is it? It looks like a cutting board.
It gives me the heebie-jeebies because it needs to end. It needs a ball. It needs another row.
Just so embarrassing. Anyway, James, I don't think you should be very proud of that. Do you want to come and do the sport? Yeah, come and do that. You're better at that than anything else. AI-DA. Okay, so it's AI-DA robot, but it could be AIDA. I'm not sure. It's one of those.
You know,
it's like Elon's children. You're not sure how to pronounce their
exactly.
name. So anyway. Apparently, this thing churned out 15 paintings of Turing. Each took up 8 hours. And the best one they came up with was that one that we saw earlier. I don't know. I mean, you should be embarrassed about this.
That's my life's greatest work. I don't know what you mean.
I think it's
revolting. Did you really make this?
No, yeah. You did. Yeah.
But what?
What's your next question?
What's its purpose?
It's called interpretational art.
Oh,
so
God.
You can interpret.
Did you
what
decide
it means.
On these cutouts?
I did, yeah.
And these at the bottom,
yeah. And
what do you interpret these as?
Well, that's the thing. Whoever picks it up can interpret what they want to do with it.
Were these earrings at the bottom?
What a seeming pile of shit! Really? James.
What made you decide on how many rows and columns you would have and why you would stop where you did?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is my favorite number. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 is just a nice round number.
Okay. Should we have some sport?
What a crap fucking painting. Go to the sport. Come on. Get on with it. What happened over the weekend?
Okay. In the world of sport, there was some football this weekend. City lost, which is always great news for Liverpool fans. They lost 2-1.
Look at this shit, Leanne.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Oh. You call that art?
I do. Don't you?
No. I'm saying we almost started a TV show called You Call That Art.
Oh.
Mm. I had a friend of mine, and we were very seriously pitching a reality TV show at one point. And we flew to Venice to talk to a guy called François Pinault, not François Pinard. François Pinault, who is the guy who owns LMVH and all of that stuff, like a very, very powerful and prominent businessman, a multi-billionaire in dollars. And he has this gallery in Venice. So that's where we met him. And the show was going to be called You Call That Art. And it would effectively have been a show where people paint, sculpt, draw. They could do performative art, which would be terrifying because most of that is shit. And all sorts of interpretive stuff too. And then the show would own the artworks and sell them for charity afterwards. But the public would vote to determine whether something was art or not. And people would take something like James's painting here and they'd go, yes, that is art. And then it would pass muster and it would go into a gallery or it would be sold for charity or someone would put it on their wall. And then some of the stuff people would go, no, that's not art. That's absolute shit. And
it would be thrown on the trash heap. Put that on their wall.
You think a lot of people put that on their wall?
A lot of people.
Hold it up, Leanne. Let's show it off some more.
I don't even know. So you can hold it any way you like. So let's say it's like that. Yeah, maybe it's meant to be.
All right,
like that.
Well, all right, next. Go on, get to the sport. This is enough on your stupid art.
Right, so there was football this weekend. City did end up losing 2-1. We love it. Liverpool won 2-0 against Aston Villa. Top of the log by 5 points.
Yeah.
Man United, they did a winning thing ahead of the international break, 3-0 to Leicester. Nottingham Forest, they lost to Newcastle. And then Chelsea and Arsenal, they drew 1-1. No huge surprises this weekend in the world of football. In the Carling Black Label knockout, Sundowns beat Gallants 2-0. And Mahesi beat Richards Bay 1-0, which means the final will be between those two teams in about 2 weeks' time. And then in the world of rugby, the Box played. Guys, great news. The Box now number one in the world rankings. We love that.
That's good. They played last night. They played Scotland. Yeah.
They beat them 32-15. Ireland also played former world number ones. They played New Zealand this weekend. They lost
13-23. Mm-hmm.
England beat Australia 37-42. It's the other way around. Australia actually beat them because that's the higher number. Australia won 42-37. Argentina beat Italy 50-18, and that was pretty much. Oh, and the Proteas beat India.
Oh, the Proteas beat.
Yeah.
Nobody's used those words in that order for a long time.
I know. I hadn't heard of that.
Say it again.
I was quite worried. The Proteas beat India.
I saw a little bit of that yesterday.
I think Ben Mev had like some kind of heart attack. I haven't heard.
All right. I want to give you some feedback on your art. So okay. Tabo says your art is great.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Tonga Chris says it's not your best work, James, but don't let the mean comments discourage you.
If I sit next to Leanne, it's like when you're off.
Wentz says it's a Domino's pizza box. Not very exciting. James, that's as useful as Anne Frank's drum set, says Carl DeSantos. Bitcoin Butt says, must be some my bosses are do a secret message in that piece of art, James. James, forget the sport. Tell us what your creative process was, says that Don Kitty.
Sure.
James must stick to dirtying his vehicle, says someone else. This fucking generation, says Max. Just nothing but that.
Generation.
Leave James alone, says Polyfiller. Dirk says AI will be more intelligent than the average human. James just proved this point.
Okay. It's not even interesting in texture.
Come on, Leon, give me a break. I tried. James,
I tried so Conquer hard. Chris says, James, you've ruined your mother's cutting board. Marco says, stop that nonsense. This is unbelievable. So many rude comments here. It's times like these I'm glad Gareth and Leanne don't have kids. Imagine little Johnny bringing him his ashtray that he made for mommy or daddy and the two of them. Yeah. Carl says, I wouldn't use that to cover my DB board behind my kitchen door.
No, a DB board. Now, that's art. You know, you get some beautiful DB boards if you admire electricians because they're handiwork.
How tidy they are.
Yes. Yeah. That's now, that is interesting.
This would make a good door to a DB board, I think.
No.
Monet says, can we auction it for charity on this show? No, I wouldn't want to do that because the charity itself would, I think they'd be very
offended. Yeah. Yeah.
We could.
It's actually offensive if you think that's art.
What, this?
It's offensive that you think that's art.
I think it's provocative then, which makes it even more art.
Ooh. Ooh, is it political?
No, I just meant thought provocative. It provokes.
Oh. I thought you were saying, yeah, I mean, it can't even be used as a chessboard or a cutting board, really, but there it is. At least James brought his art into school today, so we could all have something to say about it. Flex, what do you reckon out of 10?
Zero.
Wow. Out of 10. No one's impressed with this. James, is it a reflection of your checkered past, says Proper Gender? yeah, I don't know. All right, go. Yes, go. Take it with you. How embarrassing. Bye. At least it has a handle. Most art you have to pick up, you know.
You're very right.
Yeah,
that's what I like about it.
That's the thing that, out of all the things, that's the one that we must remember. It's got a handle.
It does. It makes you want to put your hand in it. You know it's a handle. It's very clever.
Oh, is it very clever now?
That part.
Okay. All right. Very good. So there are a couple other stories in the news that are worthy of our attention this morning. Well, I hope it's worthy of your attention. Apparently, over the past 15 years, this is quite scary, several prominent car brands, including Cadillac, Datsun, Dodge, Chrysler, Chevrolet, Daihatsu, Saab, have all left South Africa. They're no longer available here.
Wow.
South African automotive industry.
Say them again, now that we know.
So Cadillac.
Yeah.
Don't see many of those.
I don't see many, yeah.
I mean, there's still some, but there are no new ones being sold.
Yeah.
Datsun. I know you were a big Datsun fan once.
In the 80s, maybe, yeah. Of a brown Datsun with that, like, bubble back.
A brown.
Datsun, yeah. A
brown one.
I haven't seen any new ones.
A Dodge.
Yeah. American vehicle.
I've seen a few of those, but not a lot. Chrysler.
Mm-hmm.
Chevy, Daihatsu. No, that's Japanese, right?
Yeah, it is.
Daihatsu, but they make little cars, don't they?
I think so.
Small, tiny cars for tiny little people. No, I don't remember. Anyway, Daihatsu, Saab,
yeah,
and Seat.
Okay.
So, okay.
To be honest, I don't. I spend a lot of time in traffic.
Yeah, I'm
every
not
day.
Really sad about all those cars going away.
No,
there's not one of those that I'm like, oh no.
No, exactly.
Not that one.
Only the Datsun, but the 1972 Datsun.
That was brown. Otherwise, it would have been good. You only went to brown one of those. Okay, so apparently, the South African automotive industry, and this is why I wanted to have George here to talk about this with us, but he couldn't make it. He cancelled last night. He's got some important work thing on.
It's okay. We'll just make it up.
Yeah, we'll make it up. Exactly. This is what happens when Borge isn't here. So the South African automotive industry contributes 4.3% to the GDP. Seen some strong investments from BMW, Ford, Toyota. They've capitalized on local production, okay? But consumer loyalty towards established brands coupled with economic challenges has made it difficult for new entrants to succeed in our market. Specific brands like Saab and Cadillac struggled to compete against established luxury brands and ultimately withdrew due to weak sales. So
there are a few new car brands as well that I'm seeing popping up that I haven't seen before. And you wonder how long they'll last. But so it's because South Africans are stubborn and we're set in their ways.
We've got loyalty to other brands, right? And apparently Seat, I've never...
I have seen those before.
You have?
Yeah.
Does it have four or three wheels?
It's got one on the top and one at the bottom.
Okay, so Seat apparently exited after failing to rival models from Volkswagen, its parent company. Daihatsu and Chevrolet withdrew due to poor performance and strategic shifts, focusing elsewhere. Sounds like an excuse to me.
Yeah.
And then Chinese manufacturers have gained traction, offering a range of affordable models that are expected to capture around 20% of the new car market by 2024. So the Chinese are the only ones who seem to have their finger on the pulse. That's because they probably know how to price them.
What's that new? There's something new called Jetour or something. And then what? There's also JAC something.
Really?
Yeah, I'm seeing these new...
I think you're making it up. I think Leanne is having a bit of a moment on the show. You're making up car names. A what?
Explore new...
Jayco.
Jetour. J-E-T-O-U-R models.
Oh. Okay. Are you sure it's a car?
100%. I've driven past two factories, two Jetour factories.
Give me that phone. Let me just give me that. It says here, Jetour is a kind of tampon. You see, you've got it completely wrong. It's not a car
it's
at
a
all.
Car.
She can't even read.
Choose adventure.
Are your glasses dashing. Working?
You get the dashing with Vanguard Tech. It's a Vanguard technology.
Oh, right.
It's SUV.
The Vanguard technology. Now I'm convinced.
The newly appointed Jetour South Africa vice president highlights the brand's commitment to delivering blah, blah, blah. There's a vice president. It's a leading Chinese automotive brand entering the South African market.
Yeah, and you're making it up.
I told you we were going to make it up.
You did, actually. So that's
you.
All. The last 5 minutes were all total nonsense. It's because we don't have George Meany here from Auto Trader to help us
watch
understand.
Oh, watch Jetour sponsor me a car. That'll be fun.
Talk about them again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we were just saying earlier how celebrity endorsements are worthless.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't bother with that shit. All right. A couple of other stories going on in the news. I see Tyler was at the MTV EMAs. She's looking very good. And I don't know if she won or not, but I'm very proud of her for being there.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Elon Musk is tweeting up a storm about the elections. Says the real loser was not the puppet, but the big government machine behind the puppet, because in Washington, D.C., Kamala Harris got 92.4% of the vote. Donald Trump got 6.7%.
And then there's also that thing where your votes count more. Apparently in Pennsylvania, that's the state where...
It's a swing state.
Yes, so it's a swing state.
That was the one that had a lot to do with deciding who would actually win in the I mean, your vote doesn't count for more. It's still one vote. But that state is very, very important because it goes either way. And whichever way it goes is usually the way the president ends up being elected. But it is strange to me. Like, I do find it weird how people get really, really emotionally involved in stuff like elections. And I mean, I'd rather get involved emotionally in that than I would in sports games. But you mentioned sports games earlier. And people do. They find reasons to get really, really excited about things. And obviously, if their team loses, they get very, very sad.
Yeah.
I saw some hilarious videos this weekend of people just losing it. And now everybody's sending me these things as well. So it's like I've got a million to choose from. But I do think with some of these people, it's touch and go that they're not completely lunatic. I mean, you can see that some of them are probably not coping. We played a video last week of a girl shaving off her hair while saying,
yes,
this is to punish men. And I mean, I don't think any men were like, you know, gathering around the block to be with her, but she was going to punish all men in America for voting for Donald Trump
it's
by shaving her hair.
Completely irrational behavior.
Totally weird. No, bizarre. And then I saw lots of people on American television who also just they don't make sense anymore. People like Joy Reid, who is on MSNBC, and she's like, well, I'm going to blame Hispanic men and white suburban women because they didn't vote for Kamala. So you guys are the bad guys. Like, how are you going to make things better by blaming those population groups? Surely this is just going to cause more polarity, more division. And this is a person on TV. The reason I started laughing just now is this is a picture of different strokes, but everybody's everybody's face is pulling.
So different strokes was that show.
Can you get into that?
In the 90s, early 90s, I'd say, late 80s. Different strokes.
But everyone's face is going. Everyone's face is going.
Yeah, they've all got different sides of their faces have been affected by these strokes.
All right. Well, what was on your agenda for the morning? Leanne brought a whole lot of stuff that she wanted to talk to us about today.
I did too.
See, we've been missing this. This is the only way we get informed, Leanne, is when you're here.
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
We were talking about weird foods and insects and things. And all around the world, they've found these insects that can eat through plastic.
I don't like the sound of this. You know, there were flying ants this weekend. Did you have some?
No.
Because flying ants are a big thing. Someone was saying
apparently they taste like peanut butter.
Yes, someone said that they taste
them. Cats love them.
Yes, the animals will eat them. I'm just not interested. Anytime anyone proposes that I eat insects, I'm like, no, thank you very much.
Well,
I'm not falling for that crap. But these things...
they actually eat through plastic and destroy it. So... they've been found all over the world in various forms, and we haven't had anything in Africa yet.
Okay, but hang
on. So now we've got...
all right. I don't dislike the idea that they can break down plastic.
Mm.
Okay? But I really dislike the idea that they can eat through plastic that we would use to store food in.
Well, you've got to keep them isolated to
keep them in a certain place. Yeah. Don't let them into the general...
no. Your house is digitally printed with plastic...
it's not a good idea
to don't have these pets as well.
What are they? It's like mealworms.
They are native, firstly, to Kenya. So what they've got is, let me just try and find out.
They eat plastic.
The lesser mealworm, that's right, is the larval form of the Alphatobius darkling beetle.
Oh, well, of course, I knew that as well.
Mostly found in poultry rearing houses, which are warm and can offer constant food supply. So they did a test where they took a whole lot of these worms and gave them just the plastic.
They look revolting.
They did a test where they gave the worms plastic and nutritious food.
Right.
And they did it with just nutritious food. And the ones that actually thrived the most were the ones with a mixture of polystyrene specifically. Polystyrene is very, very difficult to break down. And they, by eating the plastic, develop certain enzymes that can destroy the polystyrene.
So have you ever watched these videos on, you know, Twitter, TikTok, wherever, where they show you an orange, for example, and the mealworms just destroy the orange?
Yeah.
Like they eat it. They absolutely break down
everything.
They
show you like a time lapse.
The little piece of wood that is at the end that would have been connected to the twig that it was growing on, the skin, the inside of it, they just demolish everything. These mealworms, I mean, they look like just ordinary, like garden worms. Mm. You saw them there, but these things can destroy anything. And they have these time-lapse videos where you actually see them. You could throw anything in there and they'll eat it. So now we've got ones that can eat plastic. As you said earlier, you've got to keep them separate from the rest of them. You let that into someone's house. I mean, look at how much stuff we have that's plastic.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, probably the sole of the shoe is not. It's probably plastic. So they'd eat that if they ended up in my cupboard.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what these glasses, are, but maybe my glasses frames.
No, it's like acetate or something.
My boobs are real, so it wouldn't be those.
Those are real, thank God. But I mean, for a woman who goes to sleep at night who just had a boob operation, she's really pleased with her, like,
imagine
an A to C upgrade, and then suddenly the fucking mealworms are all over her. That would be horrific, right? Think about how much plastic we've got around us.
Yeah, plastic surrounds all of our electricity.
Correct. All the
cables. The cables, the plugs.
Imagine we let these mealworms in there and they start eating the plastic around our cables. All of our plumbing, our pipes are now mostly plastic. You've got to be very careful. You let the mealworms at that. So please, let's just be very sensible about where we deploy these mealworms.
Okay? They must be far away, and then we'll send our plastic to them.
Yeah. Next thing they'll
creating be eating, a carbon footprint.
Next thing they'll be eating metal. Because they do seem like they could eat anything.
And maybe they'd evolve to eat metal, but we don't want that.
I'm really into the mealworm time-lapse videos, the hydraulic press videos, which, you know.
Yes.
I saw the most brilliant hydraulic press video the other day. They took a mold, obviously, of a cup, right? Mm-hmm. So they would press whatever it is into the shape of a cup. Obviously, use this to manufacture mugs and so on. Anyway, they took coffee, and they compressed at such high pressures a coffee cup mold. So the actual cup is made of coffee.
Like coffee beans.
Yeah. No, ground coffee that they've made from beans. But it's a solid pneumatic press
it's
coffee
mug. It's
a cup
mug, of coffee.
Right? So this would be made of coffee.
A cup of coffee.
And then they pour coffee in it, and obviously the coffee dissolves the other coffee in the mug, and then it leaks out. But can you imagine if you could make it really, really cold, because then it would take longer for it to melt through. Maybe even put a layer of something on the inside that takes a while for it to melt, and you do like hot chocolate in a coffee-made coffee cup.
Ooh.
Huh?
Sounds good.
I think you could sell these things.
Yeah.
Or maybe a shot. You're like,
yeah.
You do it in a thin little
coffee.
There
is something with...
That would be cool, right?
There is something where the shell is made of chocolate.
Well, they're always trying to come up with new ideas of like stuff to sell people. And coffee fanatics would love this stuff.
But those compression videos?
Yeah, hydraulic presses,
They sometimes put those, you know, those little plastic balls?
Yeah.
And I saw something similar over the weekend where they... started off with that, and it cut straight away to an actual video from a vet, you know, for dogs in the US, where this dog had eaten a whole bag of those little balls. And he was basically going into the poop position, and just millions of these balls were falling out of his bum. They were all over the practice. Everyone was like, they're just bouncing out.
That's just great. How revolting.
They had to remove the rest by surgery, but he did quite a good job.
You're telling me these mealworms can now, these are the solution.
Best is they found something in Africa that works, because for us to have sent our plastic overseas or their insects to come here where they don't thrive would have been a problem.
But great. These are the ultimate solutions to our climate change problems, the ultimate issues to all these environmental problems that we've got all over the world. We've got the solutions already.
And
we've been having it here in Africa. Kenya, thank you for leading the way. Okay, but for God's sake, let's keep these plastic-eating mealworms in a certain place. You can't have them just running amok.
Absolutely.
Okay? Very, very good. All right, so here's something else that Leanne wants to tell us about this morning, is ostriches, and do they really bury their heads in the sand? Now, we've heard this a million times. You know, people go, don't be like an ostrich, you bury your head in the sand. If someone says, I don't watch the news, or... I don't really care about politics. I don't know what the latest music is, because I only listen to the music that I used to listen to when I was 20. So you get people who say they're not paying attention. They're going to put their head in the sand.
Yeah.
Do ostriches actually do that?
Have you ever seen an ostrich do that?
No, of course not.
I mean, we don't have them running around readily available for us to observe like we do our pets. But, we've seen
like
them.
Oetsuren,
we've seen them in Oetsuren.
Sure.
And the idea is that if they feel threatened, they'll put their head under the sand. And would you have maybe told your nephew something like that?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard people use the term, don't be like an ostrich putting your head in the sand. But I've never really thought if it's an actual thing.
So for centuries now, people have said that ostriches really do bury their heads in the sand.
Yeah.
They claimed that when they were faced with danger... It's this struzio species, which is, because in Italian, ostrich is a struzio, I think.
Right.
But apparently, it's absolutely not true.
No.
The belief was created by the Roman naturalist Pliny the Elder.
Pliny.
Yeah. Pliny the Elder.
Well, he was very uptight about it. Pliny. He didn't like Pliny. Yeah.
Known as Gaius Plinius Secundus.
Gaius Plinius Secundus.
Wow, look at that. So he completed one of the earliest collections of encyclopedias.
Yeah.
And in book 10 of The Natural History, he describes an ostrich hiding its head in the bushes to appear invisible.
Do you know that Pliny the Younger, the same guy you're talking about, wrote the best eyewitness account of the eruption of Vesuvius?
This is Pliny the Elder, though.
That was his uncle.
Okay.
No, really, that was his uncle. Pliny the Younger wrote the most brilliant eyewitness account of the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in about 70 AD. And he was part of his uncle went out on a boat to try and rescue people who were in the Bay of Naples and who were being covered with ash. Ooh. And were likely to have drowned. I mean, a lot of people did get away. We obviously know, thanks to Pompeii and Herculaneum, that there are many people covered in ash that they are now essentially petrified for all time.
Mm.
And
people are still discovering more about them as time
absolutely.
Passes.
And because of the ash that landed on the little village of Pompeii, we're able to now see things about the way Romans lived in those days that we otherwise would never have known.
Mm.
You know, the mosaics on the walls, the things that people were doing. It's the most fascinating place to go and see. But Pliny the Younger is the one who wrote the best eyewitness account of that. And Pliny the Elder wrote a set of encyclopedias.
Right.
The first ones. He wanted to codify and make sense of all the knowledge of the earth, which...
very admirable.
It's quite a life's work, that, you know?
Yes.
Very ambitious.
So apparently, it's all because of an illusion. So ostriches...
Right. Ostriches. Okay, so ostriches. We're back on ostriches. After my diversion into Pompeii, let's go back to ostriches.
Ostriches tend to dig a bit of a pit in the sand when they lay their eggs in there.
Yeah.
So oftentimes you would walk past, I suppose in his day, an ostrich, and you would see its head looking like from the side that it was burying its head,
mm-hmm.
but it's usually the mother and the father tending to the eggs.
Okay, but he just wasn't paying careful enough
attention. He just presumed, yeah. He did his best. Maybe why? He was too scared to go up too close.
Why are you gays?
Why are you gays?
Gaius. Beautiful.
So no, they don't. They're either eating something or tending to their young.
So basically these guys just weren't looking properly.
They weren't looking properly, and for thousands and thousands of years...
This has been a thing.
We thought that it was a thing, but it's not.
Okay, well, I'll be sure not to use the old idiom then of being like an ostrich and putting your head in the sand.
And it made them look stupid.
I have used it before. I'm not going to use it anymore.
It made them look stupid, which is why I thought I'd come out and just be protective
defend
of
the
them.
The ostriches.
Because everyone thinks, oh, look, they've covered their eyes so no one can see them. My cousin did that once as a child. She didn't like people looking at her,
mm-hmm.
a bit of social issues,
yeah.
Socialization issues. And she kept saying, she was a toddler, and she said, I want to go and get an ice cream. So we said, just go. And she said, no, people are going to look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually she ran like this.
Covering her ears.
Putting her fingers in her ears and closing her eyes, because then they couldn't see her. And that's why they were making the ostriches look stupid by this. The fact that they had these enormous bodies sticking out above, but they just thought they were gone by hiding their heads.
All right. Well, there's a long and complicated explanation for something that's clearly not true. Now, apparently, to curb the leaking of matric exam papers that have been printed by the government-approved printers, and that's going on right now as we speak, right? When do they finish their matric exams? End of this month?
Yeah.
Yeah. So schools have turned to privately appointed printers. It's resulted in a whole new issue, a billion rand bombshell. So they can't print the exam papers because in the government printers, people are stealing the exams and cheating. So they go to private companies to do this. Let me guess, they're stealing the exams and cheating.
No.
No?
No, that's not happening as much.
What's happening?
So there is the actual state-owned GPW, is the government printing works.
Yeah.
And it was found that government was involved in stealing the papers because they owned the printing conglomerates, right?
Yeah. So someone on the inside.
Now what's happening is corruption and price gouging.
Price gouging?
Price gouging. No. Price gouging.
Price gouging.
Price gouging.
Okay, yes.
So according to a City Press report, only one of the nine provinces is printing the grade 12 exam papers still with the GPW. The rest have all gone private. What's happened is that the cost of printing these papers has now gone up by 2.6 billion rand. 2.6 billion rand.
That we now have to find from somewhere that we didn't have before.
No, this is what the provinces are saying. Okay, you've made us go to private printers. They've now collated all of their spendings at these
and that's how much
designated printers. And the bill is 2.6 billion rand higher than it was before when they were using the government printers. Why? Because the provinces are looting, or not looting the money, but they're boosting the prices.
And I was going to say, I mean, I don't know how much printing you've ever done in your life, but 2.6 billion rands worth of printing? So that seems like a lot of paper and ink. You have to justify plenty of ink.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think this
is the cost of printing has was less than 1 billion rand when it was with the government printers.
Right.
And has now grown to a staggering 3.6 billion rand.
Hang on. 3.6 now altogether.
Yes, it increased by whatever.
Okay, guys, yes. Like I think that government just they have like a dartboard. And then obviously goes to one all the way to 20, and then they just add billion to it. So they throw a dart.
They're like, inflating.
Oh, okay. We only got six billion.
Mm.
Okay. Or they throw it again. It's like triple 20, like 60 billion. That's how much it's going to cost us. I can't understand how everything has to be so expensive now. You're only printing, how many matrix are there? Let's say that there are a million. I don't think there are. But let's say there are a million matrix this year, and they each have to get, I don't know, 15 exam papers, right?
So, yeah.
Can't be, it cannot, it just cannot be billions. Can't, makes no sense.
The biggest, the province with the biggest discrepancy, Northwest province.
You haven't got like three matrix.
They had been spending 8 million.
I've never met anyone
million
from,
rand.
Never met anyone from the Northwest who has a matrix. They all...
They've been spending 8 million rand to print matric exam papers. That was in 2017. After a year of printing papers at a private printer, they're spending more than 27 million. So it's gone up from 8 million rand to 27 million rand. And that's all because of price inflation.
Sure.
And looting.
I think, I'm sorry. I think this is just they're taking the piss. So this is people stealing.
Fixing one problem with papers being leaked and creating another one with billions being stolen.
Well, Congo Chris says, did anyone else have their electricity turned off on Friday? We had 17 hours of no electricity. That happened to a friend of mine in Four Ways as well. City of Joburg owes Eskom 6.3 billion rand. Again, billion. Nothing's ever 1,000, 100,000, or a million. It's got to be billions now.
Big problems.
Yeah, and people don't question this. I'm sorry. There's no way printing can be that expensive. Just not possible. I think this is nonsense. But what do I know? So here's a horrible story, and I don't like stories like this, but we have to pay attention to them. Apparently, a woman threw her dog from the third floor at O.R. Tambo.
Yeah.
What the hell did she – was this a mistake? Have we misinterpreted the story?
So they are investigating. The SPCA is investigating. She's a French woman who was at O.R. Tambo. And she was, you could see her walking with her dog, kind of a small to medium sized black dog on the security cameras. And for no reason at all, she picked the dog up and flung it over the balcony.
Jesus.
Three stories up. The dog landed, did survive, however, had to be euthanized because of its injuries. So nobody knows what happened.
Oh my God, what a horrible story.
It's so strange.
I think that's probably would have been in the area where people welcome, like, you know, returning sports heroes and things. You know, you've got those three levels there. I can't think of another place at O.R. Tambo that could have happened.
Where it's still like internal. It's not an external balcony.
Oh, why does that upset me so much?
I don't know if she had a mental breakdown.
Oh man, I really don't like this story.
Yeah. But we'll see what happens with this investigation. I think they'll get a lot of support in this, the SPCA.
Yeah.
Grace De Lange is leading the investigation as the SPCA's chief operations officer. It's horrific.
Yeah, it's just, there are obviously people who do terrible things. You hear about people who throw their kids off of buildings and then they throw their pets off of, it's just horrible. You know, if you want to fling yourself over there, that's obviously a different kettle of fish, but we're not going down that road today. I just think it's an awful, awful thing to do. Mm. I mean, like, first of all, you're involving a whole lot of other people who are just there to welcome. Yeah, like, they're people there to welcome their loved ones to Joburg after they've been, you know, flying across the world or whatever. And they have to then be part of this. What an awful thing to do.
So it happened at about 3:30 a.m. on Friday.
So early in the morning.
Early in the morning, her black dog was running towards her. And as the dog reached the woman, she picked it up and callously threw it over the balcony railing. She was apparently French, but traveling from France to Brazil and had stopped in South Africa. Maybe like the time.
But it was her dog.
Yes, her dog.
You see, there are a lot of things that don't add up here. I mean, if she was flying in from.
She had bought the dog a seat on the plane already.
Oh, my God.
Like as a passenger. So it could go in the plane with her.
I don't understand.
Don't understand.
She must have had some sort of meltdown. There's no reason. I mean, it doesn't make sense at all, right? Severely sleep deprived or on drugs or something.
Yeah.
Still, how awful.
Maybe she ingested the drugs that she was.
She was mewling. Yeah, she was mewling drugs off to Brazil.
Was scared of getting caught.
And instead they dissolved. Yeah. That's probably what happened. Jeez, what a story though. Ugh.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Oh, I hate that. Mm. All right. Well, I'm afraid that's the note we're going to have to end it on this morning.
Sorry about that.
But we're not here to.
We're not here to just brighten you up your day.
No, we're here to ruin your whole fucking Monday as well. I mean, what am I going to say? Oh, this is hardcore. the woman threw a dog over the balcony. All right, bye. Yeah, I think that's the end. I think that's the end of the show. We'll see you on Wednesday.
And these people will stop at nothing. And yes, the Russians helped them last time. The Russians are helping them now. And the White House has said, don't brief the Congress. Don't even tell them the classified setting.